Week in Colossians. I apologize for last week. I said to Trish when I got home, I said, that was probably the most distracting service that I've ever been a part of in the last 10 plus years. And we'll do a better job of shutting the system down next time through. But we figured out what was going on. The 11 o'clock service was amazing. 11 o'clock service, we got 2 salvations and 8 rededications. So it was good. Yeah, no, right. Good things are happening. All right, so we're in Colossians. I'm not going to review the old stuff. As a matter of fact, Dan, Trish wasn't even sure. Did you figure out what service we taped? Second service. So it's second service. So this week she'll put second service in one of these services, whichever goes good. No distractions, right? All right, so let's pick up. I'm going to start at verse 9. We are going to get through a lot more of Colossians today than we have, because a good part of what I'm going to get into here today ought to just simply make sense to you. You ought to be living this. You ought to be with an understanding of it. This is not for a mature Christian. Starting at verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray. Prayer is one of those pillars, and ask that you be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You need to have spiritual understanding. You need to know what God's will is. Get in the scriptures. Have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Be praying through things. He gives wisdom. He gives direction. Verse 10, this is what we studied last week. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. These are not my words. They're Paul's words, anointed of the Holy Spirit. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God. And again, you know, study that scripture out. Go all the way back to Revelations 19, Revelations 3, Matthew 21, 22. We're talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. When you look at good works, we live in a culture today where you don't have to be faithful of your time. You don't have to be faithful of your talents. You don't have to be faithful of your treasures. There's all kinds of stuff that's just being spoken today. But we're not to be blind as the body of Christ. And this isn't my word, this is God's word. You know, as a matter of fact, today we're going to talk a little bit about the stuff that's out there, that you're being fed on a regular basis. But here's your reality. There is a day you alone are going to stand before the Lord. And if you've lived your life on a slippery slope, and you've not been faithful of your time, your talents, or your treasures, what are you going to be robed in? Becomes a question. And I understand that in my relationship with Christ, I stand in his righteousness. But we're not necessarily talking about salvation today. Okay? We're talking about your life in Christ. And I'll talk a little bit about that. There is a difference between salvation and you're living your life out in Christ. You know, we're to disciple the nations. I'm not trying to give you a bill of sale that is for swampland in Florida that you can't build on. But if you choose to grab that bill of sale in Florida, you live the consequences of it. Don't stand before the Lord and find yourself naked. Get that message from last week. And starting here today, verse 11, strengthen with all might, according to the glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 11 again, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. You know, last summer, I believe it was, Trish and I taught a class with Chris Valentin, Spirit Wars, Power, Dunamis, Authority, Isousia. Satan has a little bit of power, but he has absolutely no authority. Except that which you give him a foothold to. You know, and if you're foolish enough to leave a foothold for the devil to come in, he's going to rule and he's going to reign. You know, I stopped in on an appointment this week, and somebody just happened to be there, and I'm like, hey, trouble. I hadn't seen her in a long time. And she's like, yeah, Pastor, you got to come and you got to pray over my house. I got demons in my house. This is a gal we see maybe once a year, if that. And I'm not allowing demons in my home because of the things I'm going to watch, the way I'm living my life. But if you choose to go down that road and you open that foothold, you have given permission for the devil to take up residence in your life and in your home. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Our house is a house of peace. It wasn't always that way, but today it is, except for the orange tape. Gotta get rid of the orange tape. Matter of fact, I just got word Pastor Sam's just going to come and wrap all of that with toilet paper. Someday I'm actually going to pull those off and I'm going to tweak them in such a way that you're going to end up, you know, like in Inverness Township somewhere. Who wants my wife over at their place? You know, just, there you go. Grand Township. Man, how can I get home from here? Strengthened. You have all power. You have all authority. You need to be in God's word to recognize the boundaries that are in your life. How to keep the devil out, how to keep peace within. Goes on and says, according to glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Your reality in Christ, apart from Christ, you're going to suffer. From the day that Adam and Eve ate the apple, there has been suffering. There's suffering in your life, there's suffering in the animal kingdom, there's suffering. The earth itself is groaning with pains. You're going to suffer. How you, in Christ, go through that suffering process ought to be different than the rest of the world. We are to be light to this world. And so when we go through battles with sickness, how we handle that sickness ought to be different. When we go through financial troubles, how we handle those financial troubles ought to be different. Why? Because we're light. We have a hope that the world system doesn't have. And when you are talking about power and authority, you accept those power, that authority in the name of Jesus. You know, Harvey this week got a bad report. He's got cancer wrapped around that kidney. That is a fact. But truth is that Jesus on the way to the cross paid the price for Harvey's healing. And what we do is we stand on truth. As a matter of fact, you know, when I met with Harvey and Dee, one of the things I was talking with them about is when King David approached Goliath, he didn't look at Goliath for anything except what Goliath was. Goliath was 9 feet tall. His sword was heavier than an average man could carry, let alone use. You know, when you face your giant, you face him for the facts of what it is. But God will equip you with the tools and everything necessary to deal with that giant that's in your life. And we don't have an answer to all of this. I mean, we've got appointments set up with the oncologist and all of that. We'll process it one day at a time. You know, I know this. Harvey's alive and doing well today. There is a day every one of us will, for whatever reason, you know, die in some form or fashion. Part from the Lord coming and rapturing us, we're all going to die. And I don't know how that looks for me. I'm like, I want to go like Moses. Just come talk to me about what I didn't accomplish. Take me to the mountain here in Sheboygan. Black Mountain. Take me to Black Mountain. Show me what it was I didn't accomplish and bury me.
I think that's in Grand Township,
right? There you go. We're working on that trip this week. You know? You want me to go around past Lisa's house and stop in for tea or whatever? How we face these things ought to be different. You have a radiance about you that the world doesn't have. And I'm not saying to ignore facts. That's foolishness. I mean, we live in a generation where we can deal with a lot of the different issues that are out there. And I'm very grateful for that. But you have to face these things in the name of the Lord with power and authority. And when you do that, just like Ann got up here with a word of knowledge, ask. You know, we go to the medical profession and we talk with them and and then when it's all said and done and they're like, there's no hope, then we come to the Lord. That's not who you are. That's not who I am. Sounds like a song. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 12. You have a hope. You ought not be living your life in any way other than recognizing that hope. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Don't pick that sin back up and walk with that. That's like cancer. What Christ did for you and I on the cross, He did once and for all. Let that go, live in Him, be light. It's the standard that He would set. Verse 15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Everything was created for Him. That includes you. Now, God gives you the ability to say, nope, I put before you life and death. Tells you to choose life, but He's not going to take your free will away from you. And He's not going to take the free will away from society. You know, and there's a lot in society today that would be saying, you know, well, you don't have to do that. What society chooses to do ought not be the path that you're on. If it's not a biblical path, then you ought to be bucking up against that. Everything was created for His plans and His purposes, and that includes you and I. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and Him all things consist. He is the head of the body in the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In all things we have... And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He may have the preeminence. You know, one of the things that we struggle with as a society, and I think it's probably predominantly here in the United States, because you look at some of the countries that are suffering, you really have a body of believers that are into accountable relationships with each other. They recognize that they are not going to get through without each other. You look in the Muslim communities where Christians are living and facing incredible persecution, those Christians are hanging tight with each other. But here in the United States of America, we don't want to be in accountability with anybody. And I think one of the struggles that we have is that we don't have accountability. You know, we don't want to sign up on the dotted line because, you know, I don't know if that's going to be a day that I'm going to be out doing whatever. You know, and we just have a tendency to pull back from everything. You can't take back what you didn't accomplish yesterday. And you can't take back what you didn't accomplish the last month. You know, at some point, you need to get into an accountable relationship. You know, and I would say that ought to be with the church. That ought to be with the body of believers outside of this church. You know, when you're in a relationship of accountability, iron sharpens iron. You ought to have at least one good person in your life who you respect in Christ that's willing to get in your face and say, wait a minute, do you really want to take that position? I mean, that's not what the Bible says. Wait a minute. You know, what you said to your wife, that's wrong. The heart of that thing is wrong. You know, when we get into those kinds of relationships, that kind of accountability, it brings us back to revelation. Because your reality is the same as my reality. I grew up in an environment where there was a little bit of light in my life, but for the most part, it was darkness. And if I go back to thinking things through in the way that my environment brought me up, by 20 years of age, that had me on a path of drugs and alcohol. I can't stay on that path. If the tools that I have in my toolbox got me to this point of drugs and alcohol by 20, and now I come into relationship with Christ, the thing I realize is I need new tools. I can't stay on the path that I'm on without suffering serious consequences. You know, and so when we look at these particular scriptures and we look at these standards, the standards you ought to be setting in your spiritual life are not standards, well, this is what Pastor Mike says. And I'm not saying that I'm going to take you down a road of untruth. And I'm not going to say that Pastor Sam's going to take you down a road of untruth. I mean, we try to be full gospel and we try to the best of our abilities to preach truth. And yet, if the only truth you're getting is on Sunday mornings when I'm preaching or when Pastor Sam is preaching or on Wednesday nights, and you're not into the scriptures, getting into a deeper relationship so that you understand the depth and the width of who he is, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're not going to get enough in 45 minutes to get through the week. You need him on a daily basis in your life. He will bring the accountability that will help you get from where you are to where you need to be. This next section, I'm going to read it in the New King James, and then I'm going to close and read it in the Contemporary English Version because it sometimes makes better sense. But starting at verse 19, it's talking about being reconciled in Christ. Something you have to understand is there is a point where a person comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then there's discipleship. How you live your life has nothing to do with coming into a relationship with Christ. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. What the Lord did for you and I on the cross was a free gift, period. And I think there's so much confusion today about, you know, in the body of Christ, you don't have to be faithful to all of this stuff. Because the assumption and the understanding is, well, it has something to do with your salvation, meaning coming into relationship with Christ. It has nothing to do. You know, my good works, my being faithful with my time, my talents, and treasures has nothing to do with me coming into that relationship with Christ. It's who I am because of Christ. And there's a difference between coming into relationship with Christ and walking your life out the rest of your life. And when we look at this particular passage, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach." You know, when I read that, I'm like, man, Paul just raised the bar in who we are in Christ. I have to ask personally, am I holy? Am I blameless? Am I above reproach? And you know who I have to ask first? I just need to go to Trish and I need to talk with me. Where am I at? Now, I'm not giving her the mic this morning because she's not going to... Yep. Or should I give you the mic? Stay home. You want to know when it comes to reproach, blameless, what are your kids saying about you? What are your neighbors saying about you? What are the people you're working with saying about you? And I'm not saying that in the world system, there aren't folks that are going to come against you. I get that side of it. But as for me, in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If my kids are talking bad about me, there's probably something I need to address. There's always a little bit of truth to whatever's being said out there. You know, you can't say, don't drink, and go off and get drunk. I mean, you got to be living it. And when you look at the standards that Paul sets in Colossians, they're pretty high. They're pretty high. I don't know how you get higher than that. He presents you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. You know, one of the interesting things about that whole passage in his sight is when it comes to light, this is where most of us have started in our lives. Yeah, kill them all. You know, there's always a little bit of light, but I'll tell you, when you walk in this kind of environment, it's hard to navigate. And I'd have to say for 20 years, this is how I walked. I mean, we went to church every Sunday morning. And yet 20 years into the process, I'm a drunkard, doing drugs, living my life in the flesh. And yet there was that day in March of 1980 where Jesus came into my life. For some of you, it looks a little bit like this. Did I really do that? He is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we begin this relationship. In verse 23, it goes on and says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You missed the cue, Dan. There you go. You know, there comes to a point where if you're in the light, you have a better understanding of what it is that God's calling you to in your marriage, in your relationship with your children, in your finances, in your neighborhood. But you know, if you choose, and it's your choice, to go back to that darkness. As a matter of fact, that one song we were singing here this morning, that's, you know, where God is light and darkness trembles. I was looking around the sanctuary and, you know, the way our lighting is, there's a little bit of darkness right here and there's a little bit of darkness right here and there's shadows. That darkness is trembling in those shadows. You know, some of us like to live in those shadows. I'm going to surrender all of it, and yet there's some aspect of my life where, you know what? Nobody's around. But the reality is, Satan lives there. And you stay there long enough, it's going to kill you. Will you suffer eternal consequences? Absolutely. Is it your salvation? I'm not saying that. But when it comes to faithfulness, when it comes to the standards that Paul has set, blameless, above reproach, holy, in his sight, the way we live it is in his sight. You know, when you get to heaven, there's not consumers power or PIEG power plants. We live in his light. Why not just get used to that now? Why not draw into that now? Why not become that now so that we really can reach our community? So that we can go around the nations and reach them. You know, we're suffering through some really difficult things today. We order for our board a magazine called Influence. It's through the Assemblies of God. And one of the articles in the recent one was talking about extreme religion and how Americans... opinions differ. Do you know that only 5% of Christians believe that sexual relationships between people of the same sex are morally wrong? Only 1% of Christians actually are teaching their children that. 10% of Christians today openly share their faith. 90% don't. 60% of Americans believe that when people share their faith, we are extreme. This one kind of surprised me. And I'm thankful this isn't our church. Only 5% of Christians are willing to publicly pray for a stranger out loud. When did we as a church stop being Christ-like? Well, there's a whole book that is referenced. When did we stop being Christ-like? It's no wonder we're in the troubles we are as a nation. It's because we're no longer light. Are we hiding out behind the piano in that darkness? What's keeping you from sharing the good news of your salvation, of what Christ did for you on the cross? I don't get that. You and I need to begin taking a deeper look at who we are in Christ and what it is that he's calling us to, and stepping up as a body. You know, and I'm really pleased with generally speaking, who Life Worship Center is. I mean, we do an amazing amount of stuff in the community. And I recognize that when we're a body of believers, it's easier to accomplish what's needing to be done out there. It's sometimes kind of scary sharing your faith on a one-on-one basis. I get that side of it. But there are plenty of things that you can do to be plugged in. I mean, we'll be at TenderCare today. You can go to TenderCare. We got a whole team that's going in there sharing with senior citizens who are struggling through health issues and probably within days or months or whatever are going to lose their life. I mean, we give you great opportunities, and as a body of believers, we really do an amazing job. We probably have 55, 60% of the people that are attending here plugged in on something. Curex, I mean, we have 20-some ministries that you could get plugged in on. And yet, as a society, we're not there. We're pulling way back. And I'm telling you this, you know, what you and I do when we walk out these doors is more important than what we're doing right now. This is an equipping center. This is where we just come together and we rub shoulders and iron sharpens iron and we get prepared for the next couple of days. But how you and I are living out there is what's so crazy important. And you got to start living it. You and I need to do a better job. We need to be above reproach. There's a day that you are going to stand before the Lord just like I am going to stand before the Lord. And what's God going to say about you? Because you're not going to say anything. You know, read into Revelation. You're going to stand mute. In the contemporary English version, that whole section 19 through 23 reads this way: God himself was pleased to live fully in his Son. And God was pleased for him to make peace by sacrificing his blood on the cross so that all beings in heaven and on earth would be brought back to God. You used to be far from God. Your thoughts made you enemies and you did evil things. But his Son became a human and died. So God made peace with you and now lets you stand in his presence as people who are holy, faultless, and innocent. But you must stay deeply rooted and firm in your faith. You must not give up the hope you received when you heard the good news. It was preached to everyone on earth, and I myself have become a servant of this message. You're a servant. You know, how you and I live our lives in Christ, the discipleship side, you know, here's your reality. You need to be living it. You need to be living it. You need to be in God's word. You need to know what he's calling you specifically to. Get plugged in, get involved. Verse 24 goes on. And verse 24 is actually one of the most contentious verses in Colossians and maybe in the New Testament. And it's not at all what Paul was saying, but I'll explain to you why it's contentious. It says, and now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. You know, some people will take that right out of context and they'll just stop right there, and what they'll say is that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't sufficient. That Paul somehow had some responsibility with Jesus for salvation. That's not at all what Paul is saying there. Matter of fact, if you read through, it says, Paul is making the point that a Christian will endure the sufferings that Christ would be enduring if he were still in the world. Christ had told his disciples that if the world hated him, it would hate his followers. If people persecuted him, they would persecute his followers. Not only do we live in a broken society where there's going to be suffering, but now because of who you are in Christ, because there was so much opposition to him, here's your reality. There's going to be opposition to you. You're going to go through suffering. But how you and I go through suffering needs to be with a smile on our face. It says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. You know, when you labor and you suffer long for the sake of Christ, for the church, that's a good thing. You know, if you make a bad decision, you go out and get drunk and you end up in the ditch and break both your legs and you're suffering, that's a bad thing. You know, there are some things that we just choose to do out of stupidity that puts us on a path towards suffering. That's not the kind of suffering we're talking about. Wisdom would say, wake up. Wake up. Don't go down that road of being a drunkard and smashing your car and having the financial liabilities that come with that. You're going to have enough sufferings just in life as life goes on. I mean, the older you get, the more your joints sometimes hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, and not all work environments are safe environments. We get that. You know, and if you're not going through it, maybe your spouse is going through it, your kids. Everybody goes through stuff. Whether you're in Christ or apart from Christ, everybody goes through stuff. Yep. But those of us who are in Christ need to be going through it differently. Matter of fact, in Romans, Paul says it really well. Romans 5, Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. In the Darby translation, it says, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this favor in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in tribulations, sufferings, or trials, knowing that tribulations work endurance, and endurance experience, and experience hope. 5:1. That's Revelation 5. You know, when you go through something and you get some experience going through it because you've actually gotten through it, you now are equipped to help someone else get through that stuff. You have just developed for your toolbox a whole new set of tools. You know, if Trish and I not gone through marriage problems, we probably wouldn't be able to really guide people through it. I mean, if your marriage is bliss, that's awesome. Go for it. Have fun. Enjoy it. But most of us don't have a marriage filled with bliss. Most of us go through stuff. But if you go through the stuff, you're going to learn along the way what works and what doesn't work. Tools that now are light that you can use to help your extended family, your friends, your neighbors. But it's not just in marriage, it's in raising kids, it's in your finances. God's word is so full of so many practical things about how you and I can live our lives. Those tools are what help us to shed the light. And we ought to be taking advantage of that. We ought to be doing a better job in those particular areas. Back to Colossians. I now rejoice in my sufferings. I'm back at verse 24, Colossians 1. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship. Well, that's an ugly word. You know, and we talk a lot about being faithful over here of your time, your talents, and your treasures. That's stewardship. Paul's saying, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God. You know, it makes you angry when I pass the what are those clipboards around? And you know why it ticks you off when I pass them around? Because you're in the flesh. Anger is a flesh thing. Oh, he's just asking, I don't want to commit to, you got all your reasons. But when you're in the spirit, you're like, sign me up, coach. Put me in. I'm ready here for battle. You know, you need to approach life in the spirit, not in the flesh. I got here this morning at about 7:45 and got the church all up and running. And when I pulled in, there was a beer can right out there and there's a bag in the ditch. I'm like, I'm leaving that. I want to see who picks that up on the way to church. None of you picked it up. Nobody saw it. We don't. Hey, I'm just, oh, geez, Lord. I need to be protected here this morning. I've had a really, really rough week. I don't see that beer can. I'm harping on you in a nice way. But here's... looking at the turkeys. You ought to have your eyes open to the needs, church. And I'm not talking about Life Worship Center. I'm good picking up the trash. I picked it up and it's put away. I'm good with that. But when there's an anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're looking for every opportunity God's given to you every day, every minute of every day, every hour of every day of the week, to do something for him. It's acts of righteousness. You know, it's the mom who's standing in line whose debit card's not got enough money. You know what? I got it. Go. Who are you? Doesn't matter. Lord loves you. Boom. I'm out of here. It's when you're up in the hospital and Harvey's there and you actually take the time to pray for the person next door. They had a good testimony coming out of there. I don't know who that family was, but they were leaving the hospital as Harvey was getting checked out, and they're like, you were a good roommate. Harvey was simply bringing hope to a hopeless situation. Every day, you're given opportunities. Every day. But if you're walking in the flesh, you're like, I'm so tired. And I'll tell you, for Trish and I, it starts at home. You know, it's the dishes. It's lolling the orange tape on the trees. You know, it's the raccoons. It's the squirrels. Come on, someday you're gonna have to grab a mic and just feed back. Yeah, that's true. Actually, she's got the stick. I thought the stick was here to keep me in line this morning, because that's normally what she uses that at home for. I don't recognize the orange tape on it, but I recognize the stick. Boom. Get out of bed. Take out the trash. She's got one. No, she don't. Thank you, Lord. She doesn't. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. There are a lot of great ways to serve the Lord. You know, outside of this church, I mean, we've got Curex, but there are so many things in the community that you can get plugged in on. And so many things, you know, sometimes it's just raking the leaves for your neighbor. Trisha's been helping Mary Jo with the horse for the last several years, and these last 3 months that she's been really sick, almost every day she's down there cleaning up after the horse and walking her through a really difficult week this week. There's opportunities that you have, but you got to have your eyes open. You have to have your spiritual sensors out there. Matter of fact, one of the things I like most about John Mark, he's crazy when it comes to spiritual sensors. Amen. He will not walk into Walmart until he has prayed about, who can I pray for? Who are you guiding me into Walmart to just bring a word of health and healing, whatever? I just love that about John Mark. I mean, he's one of the best missionaries that we support because he has a heart to bring people into relationship with Jesus Christ, and he will use the gifts that God has given to him to do that. That's an amazing place to be. And then he goes on in verse 26, it says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. The mystery being that the gospel was going to the Gentiles. Paul was the one that took that to the Gentiles. I mean, that all starts in the book of Acts. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then it goes on in verse 20, it says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You know, the joke around here is Pastor Sam picks you up and I beat you up. You know, I have a tendency to warn every man, teach every. But I know this. If you're a part of Life Worship Center, we're going to be preaching things to you that are hard to take in. We're going to be talking with you about being faithful of your time, your talents, and your treasures. We're going to be talking with you about being ministers of the gospel when you go out those doors. We're going to be doing everything we can to bring accountability in your life and accomplishing that. If you're in the flesh, you're probably not going to like that. But in the spirit, there's a day that we get to heaven, you're going to be really crazy joyful. In fact, I remember Pastor Dwayne talking about one of his tithing messages that, you know, when I implore you and exalt you to tithe, I know you just hate it. But when you get to heaven, you're going to love me. You're going to track me down in heaven. I get that side of it. But not all churches are preaching God's word today. You know, you can live any kind of lifestyle you want. As long as the church is growing and money's coming in for the coffers, go for it. Go for it. We are incredibly blessed. And I'm not saying money's not an issue, because it is, always is. I mean, the gospel gets preached with your givings. Bills around here get paid because you guys give. But we're incredibly blessed as a church. And we will do everything we can to live in a modest budget. You know, and next week I'll be looking at everything, but if everything has gone well, we will have given 25% again towards missions and outreach this year. And our monies that came in this year aren't like they were last year. I mean, last year we got blessed with some pretty incredible just one-time gifts from sources. But we still, as a board, have a heart to be givers. And that requires that we tighten up here, there, and do everything that we can on our own to save expenses. We are going to push you beyond your comfort zone in Christ in a loving way. And if we bring something to you out of God's word and you don't like it, I'm okay with you chewing on that. Call me, call Pastor Sam, call our board. We'll sit down with you. We'll help you chew through it together. But just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's not God's word. There are things about God's word that, you know, sometimes in retrospect, I'm like, right. And you're there also. Let's just be honest about that. I mean, I love my wife, but she's not always lovable. My wife loves me, but I'm mostly lovable.
Yeah, where's that stick?
Yeah. We're out of time. Saved by the bell. Verse 29. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. You know, be in God's word. To be Christ-like, it's probably going to require at some point you give the shirt off your back to somebody. It's probably going to require that you go the extra mile, not just the one, but the two. And even beyond that, I was talking with my brother this week, and my brother had my dad out to camp, and it wasn't a good experience this year. And My brother has some leanings like me, and he likes a clean environment, and my dad has a deer blind, and 2 years ago we started rebuilding my dad's deer blind and put it up on poles, and we clean up all the cookie wrappers and candy wrappers, and you know, and Gary's like, why does dad do that? Why does he throw everything out the window? Well, you know, he's 81 years old and he's kind of struggling through some stuff, but one day he went out there with Gary's grandson, Mason, and a buck walked out and he wouldn't let Mason shoot the buck because he's like, everything 6 points or above, and Mason's like 11 years old. I'm like, let him shoot a spike horn.
Yeah.
And, you know, but he's kind of struggling through some stuff, but in addition, he brought all of his candies. I mean, he reverts back to where he was years ago.
Yeah.
And every wrapper, right out the window, right out the window, right out the window. Wrappers all over, and Gary calls me. He's like, Michael, you got to do something about Dad. I'm like, you know what? We're not going to do something about Dad. I mean, it's probably going to get worse from this point.
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about this, Gary. We need to do something about you.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be a little bit more patient, Gary. Go down the road a little bit more long-suffering,
yes.
Gary.
Yes.
You know, that's our reality.
Yes,
you know, I live with that every day.
Oh.
Let's pray. Oh, but you gotta love life. You gotta love life. All right, let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I thank you for my wife and the blessings that she has been in my life. Pray you take care of that stick. Lord, as we come into your presence here this morning, our desire, as I look around, we're all good to go here. Our desire is to be more Christ-like. And to be biblical Christians, to live in the light and be light to our community. And as we endeavor to do that, I would pray for an infilling of the Holy Spirit upon each of us, Father, that gets us beyond where we're at today to that next level, blameless, beyond reproach, holy. And the standards that you set, Father, are your biblical standards. Speak to each of us. As we come into the holidays, Father, help us to be good ministers of the gospel when it comes to our friends, our family, our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen.